Grace to you and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I read an article this week that informed me that other than the creation story of Genesis 1 and the story of Good Friday and Easter, there is no story depicted in children's Bibles more often than the story of David and Goliath, which we just heard. There's got to be something about it. About this young man, David, smaller than this great giant Goliath, able to fell him with a single stone. The story itself is cartoonish, and I suppose it lends itself to cartoon depictions. Goliath is 9 feet high and is wearing about 150 pounds of armor. That's what all those shekels that Marlon was describing, reading for us, actually amount to. About 150 pounds of armor. He's walking around taunting the Israelite army. I bet you can't win over me. And so I just imagine for people whose size, whose powerlessness often in our society, or whose size often means that maybe just going up the escalator at the local mall feels like a really big trek, and whose powerlessness in our society, children don't have the power often to influence things. This must be a really amazing story to see depicted in pictures, a story that helps them feel powerful. On the other hand, I also learned this week, because I often try to go through and discover what kinds of sermons have been preached on what kinds of texts, I've learned that I could find almost no sermons by Lutherans preached on David and Goliath, despite its popularity in children's Bibles, and I couldn't find very many from Methodists or Presbyterians or Baptists or Catholics either, meaning Christians kind of like us. Maybe that's because in the power dynamics of the story, if you take into account the power dynamics of the story, in some ways, churches like ours have been like the Goliaths of churches over time. I mean, if you think about how we've got a really big building out on Main Street in the center of things, Lutherans and Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians haven't usually found their churches in storefronts or in side neighborhoods the way churches of other denominations or immigrant churches or African American churches often do. We sit right in the center of things. And so maybe there's something about this story that's just a little uncomfortable. Or maybe it's hard to find sermons on it because it's actually really just a violent story if you take it truly on face value. And it's hard to know what to do with that. I mean, it's not as though David has no power. He's smaller and doesn't wear armor, but he knows how to kill lions and bears with stones, and he uses that knowledge to fell Goliath. And here's the part that our lectionary, the verses assigned for today, didn't tell us. Even though David says at a certain point, the Lord our God does not save by the sword, at the end of the story, after the stone is thrown and Goliath falls flat on his face, David runs up to him and takes Goliath's own sword to finish the job. Right? So the story is about power and how to have it and how to use it and what it feels like and where it can go wrong when we have it. There are a lot of ambiguities about David in this story. Though he is, in the children's Bibles, the hero, there are a lot of ambiguities in this story about David. He's small and only very lightly armed, yet he carries within himself a cocksureness, cockiness almost. I know how to kill lions and bears. He speaks for God, telling everyone around him that the battle is the Lord's and he'll win it. But notice that God's self speaks. David goes on after this story to become a commander in an ongoing war. His battle over Goliath does not change the terms of war, does not put an end to the violence that surrounds Israel, although it is a great story. Ultimately, some of you may remember, David becomes king and has a lot of power. The power to coerce women into his palace, the power to send men to their death, the power to make his small nation secure. He helps, but he also hurts. He's God's person, God's king, and he's chief of sinners. I wonder if we in our tradition have rarely preached this story because it actually invites us to look at the power we have in our own lives, in our own families, where we work, in the public arena. I wonder if we don't like to look too deeply at the story because it invites us to see the ambiguities of the possibilities of power in our own lives. Yesterday, perhaps you were the lowest person on the totem pole. Then all of a sudden you become the one who's able to boss people around. What do we do with that? One day you had a stone, the next day you have a sword. One day you're the bullied. What happens next? Hurt people, goes one adage. Bullies on the playground are often bullied at home themselves. Where does our power lead us? What do we use it to do? To hurt or to help? It's hard to make conclusions about David, and maybe that is as it should be, because it's hard to conclude anything about ourselves when we look deeply into our own hearts. We are God's people, chosen by God in baptism, given God's grace. We are people of deeply mixed motives. We are people capable of tremendous love. We are people capable of tremendous hurt. We are people who are bullied and can become bullies ourselves. Our motives are deeply mixed. If we say we always know the right way to use whatever power it is we're given in our lives, if we say we always know the right way, then we're liars. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There is only one human being, as far as I can figure, who never has struggled with how to use his power, or I guess I should say, who always knew how to use his power for good, for helping, for loving. He was a member of David's family tree, one of his descendants according to the flesh. But because he was also God incarnate, he brought inside that one person, Jesus. He held inside his person the full power of God. That power, as it turns out, was always the power to help. The wind and the storm, the sea, obeyed him. When he was bullied, he didn't bully back. When one of his friends used a sword to cut off the ear of an arresting officer, he told his friend to put that sword away, for those who live with it will die by it. He was a king in David's line, but not of David's ambivalent and ambiguous image. On a Friday on a hill, he faced down the greatest challenge a Goliath-like state aimed to kill him without any armor at all. He stretched out his hands upon the cross, and the power from, and revealing to us that the power of God is ultimately and finally the power to break free from violence. The power not to dominate, but the power to create. And by his death and resurrection, a new playing field is created. New possibilities are opened to us in the ways that we use our power, however we find ourselves, however we're situated in life. It is a power that does not operate on the world's terms, but operates on God's terms, to love and to heal and to bless. There are some who would say that under the conditions of our world, it's impossible to use that power, but it is given to us in our baptism. And the church is surrounded by people who throughout history have used that baptismal power of grace, the power to interrupt bullying and violence for good. Think of the Emmanuel Nine, whom I mentioned in the announcements and whom we will remember in our prayers. They, as African-American people, did not have power, historic access to power in our nation. They welcomed one who did to their Bible study. They paid for that with their lives, but they also offered to the church and the world a witness that someday we will live together, one with another, as full people of God, fully in God's image. There is no record of what happened to Goliath after David fell him. But sometimes I imagine it might be like this. That there will, or I should say, I imagine the future for them far off in God's great day in which all things are made new and made right, where Goliath takes off his 125 pounds of armor and David sets aside his stones and they sit at the banquet of the king who is crucified and risen and before whom the sword has no power. Amen.